The 4th century, paragraph 22 through 30. He generally held that whosoever would enjoy the happiness of paradise must put on the charity of paradise, and that nothing was his felicity but his duty. He called his house the house of paradise, not only because it was the place wherein he enjoyed the whole world, but because it was everyone's house in the whole world. For observing the methods and studying the nature of charity in paradise, he found that all men would be brothers and sisters throughout the whole world, and evermore love one another as their own selves, though they had never seen each other before. From whence it would proceed that every man approaching him would be as welcome as an angel, and the coming of a stranger as delightful as the sun, all things in his house being as much the foreigner's as they were his own, especially if he could infuse any knowledge or grace unto him. Number 23. To establish himself thoroughly in this principle, he made much of another, for he saw that in paradise a great help to this kind of life was the cheapness of commodities and the natural fertility of the then innocent and blessed ground, by which means it came to pass that every man had enough for himself and all. But that now the earth being cursed and barren, there was danger of want, a necessity of toil and labor and care, and maintenance of servants. Therefore he concluded that the charity of men ought to supply the earth's sterility, who could never want, were they all of a mind and liberal to each other. But since this also failed, and men's hearts are cursed and barren as the ground, what is wanting in them God will supply, and that to live upon God's provision is the most glorious dependence in the whole world. And so he made the love of God his true foundation, and builded not his hopes on the charity of men, but fled unto God as his best refuge, which he thought it very safe and blessed to do, because the trial of his faith was more glorious, and the love of God supplied the defect of charity in men. And he that had commanded had faithfully promised, and was able to perform. Number 24. He thought the stars as fair now as they were in Eden. The sun is bright, the sea is pure, and nothing pestered the world with miseries and destroyed its order, peace, and beauty, but sins and vices, rapine, covetousness, envy, oppression, luxury, ambition, pride, etc., filled the world with briars and thorns, desolations, wars, complaints, and contentions, and that this made enormities to be vices. But universal charity, did it breathe among men, would blow all these away, as the wind doth chaff and stubble, and that then the heavens would be as serene and fair, and the lands as rich as ever they were, and that as all things were improved by the work of redemption, trades and occupations that were left behind would be pleasant ornaments and innocent recreations. For whence have we all our cities, palaces, and temples? Whence all our thrones and magnificent splendors, but from trades and occupations? Number 25. But order and charity in the midst of these is like a bright star in an obscure night, like a summer's day in the depth of winter, like a sun shining among the clouds, like a giant among his enemies that receives strength from their numbers, like a king sitting in the midst of an army. By how much the more scarce it is, by so much the more glorious, by how much the more assaulted, by so much the more invincible, by how much the more lonely, by so much the more pitied of God in heaven. And surely he, who, being perfect love, designed the felicity of the world with so much care in the beginning, will now be more tender of the soul that is like him in its deordination. Number 26. He thought that men were more to be beloved now than before, and, which is a strange paradox, the worse they are, the more they were to be beloved. The worse they are, the more they were to be pitied, and tendered, and desired, because they had more need, and were more miserable. Though the better they are more to be delighted in. But his true meaning in that saying was this: comparing them with what they were before they were fallen, they are more to be beloved. They are now worse, yet more to be beloved. For Jesus Christ has been crucified for them. God loved them more, and he gave his Son to die for them and for me also, which are strong obligations leading us to greater charity, so that men's unworthiness and our virtue are alike increased. Number 27. He conceived it his duty, and much delighted in the obligation, that he was to treat every man in the whole world as representative of mankind, and that he was to meet in him, and to pay unto him, all the love of God, angels, and men. He thought that he was to treat every man in the person of Christ, that is, both as if himself were Christ, in the greatness of his love, and also as if the man were Christ. He was to use him, having respect to all others. For the love of Christ is to dwell within him, and every man is the object of it. God and he are to become one spirit, that is, one in will, and one in desire. Christ must live within him. He must be filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the God of love. He must be of the same mind with Christ Jesus, and led by his Spirit. For on the other side he was well acquainted with this mystery, that every man, being the object of our Savior's love, was to be treated as our Savior, who hath said, Inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And thus he is to live upon earth among sinners. Number 29. He had another saying, He lives most like an angel that lives least upon himself, and doth most good to others. For the angels neither eat nor drink, and yet do good to the whole world. Now a man is an incarnate angel, and he that lives in the midst of riches as a poor man himself, enjoying God in paradise, or Christendom, which is better, conversing with the poor, and seeing the value of their souls through their bodies, and prizing all things clearly with a due esteem, is arrived here to the estate of immortality. He cares little for the delicacies, either of food or raiment himself, and delights in others. God, angels, and men are his treasures. He sees through all the mists and veils of invention, and possesses here beneath the true riches. And he that doth this always is a rare phoenix. But he confessed that he had often cause to bewail his infirmities. Number 30. I speak not his practices, but his principles. I should too much praise your friend did I speak his practices, but it is no shame for any man to declare his principles, though they are the most glorious in the world. Rather, they are to be shamed that have no glorious principles, or that are ashamed of them. This he desired me to tell you because of modesty. But with all that indeed his practices are so short of these glorious principles, that to relate them would be to his shame, and that therefore you would never look upon him, but as clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I have heard him often say, that he never allowed himself in swerving from any of these, and that he repented deeply every miscarriage, and moreover firmly resolved as much as was possible never to err or wander from them again.